You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Excuse me, ask a child to violate an Issa D'Rabbanan on Shabbos. Could you ask him straight out? Could you give him an Issa D'Rabbanan to do? If he's doing an Issa D'Rabbanan, do you have to stop him? So last week we spoke about Isurim D'Araisa. And last week we saw there were numerous issues. There were three issues specifically. To give a child an Isser, to actually hand a child an Isser, something that's not kosher, a malacha on Shabbos, to make a child Kohen Tameh, a male Tameh, all those things, to actively do it is definitely Asur D'Araisa. The second issue we had last week, when it comes to Shabbos, if a child is doing something for the adult, to please the adult, to please his Abba, to please his Ima, that would be a different Isser Shvisas Beno, one of the Pesukim that says the Dibros. And then there is the third issue of Chinuch. That was all regarding Yisurim D'Araisa. What I'd like to know is, do all those three issues apply for an Issa D'Rabbanan? Is there equally, just like you're not allowed to hand over, like we learned from the Pesukim of Shratzim, of Dam, of Tumah, you're not allowed to give Sheretz, give Dam, give Tumah to a Katan, does that apply to an Issa D'Rabbanan also? And the second question that we asked, when by Shvisa Sabino, that you can't have a child do something to please you, even if you don't give it to him, but he's doing it for you, for your das, to please you, is that going to apply even to an Issa D'Rabbanan, even if you didn't ask him? And thirdly, does Chinuch apply to tell your child, don't do X, Y, Z, even if it's an Issa D'Rabbanan? So those three questions that we dealt with last week on a D'Raisa level, this week we're going to delve into on a D'Rabbanan level. So let's start. Tosis and Shabbos, Daf Kaf Aleph Amar Aleph. There the Gemara talks about if others, the Beis Din, not the father, sees a child being eating something that's not kosher, then they have to stop him. Beis Din Mitzuvin Alav Lafrisho. I think actually there, one second, actually there the Gemara is talking about a case where a child comes to put out a fire. If you remember, we saw last week the Gemara inside, where if a child comes to put out a fire, you have to stop him. Tosafot has a very simple question. Let's think for a second. Putting out a fire is an Isser Midah. So putting out a fire is an Isser only Midah Rabbanan. Because even though Havara is one of the 39 Malachas, I'm sorry, even though Kibui is one of the 39 Malachas, however, that's only when you do it for Tzricha L'gufa. But whenever you put out a fire so that it doesn't damage my house, it doesn't kill somebody, whenever you do a malacha to prevent something, that's never an Issa D'Araisa. It's a malacha she'ena Tzricha L'gufa. So therefore, when the child is putting out the fire, he's only going to be violating Isser Midah Rabbanan. And yet the Gemara that we saw last week explicitly says that if a child comes to put out a fire, you don't even ask him to do it. He's doing it on his own volition. You have to tell him stop. But he's only doing this to Rabbanan. What do you see from that? You see from that, presumably, that you have to stop a kid, even though certainly not only can you not give a kid an Issa D'Rabbanan, but even if he's doing it on his own will, you have to stop him and prevent him from doing it. Because after all, the Gemara says you have to stop him from putting out a fire, and putting out a fire is at most an Issa D'Rabbanan. That's what Tosafot points out. Tosafot says, no. Maybe that Gemara that says you have to stop a kid is going according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Tzarech lomar d'mukim asnizin k'Rabbi Yehuda. D'amar malacha she'en tzricha l'gufa, chayav aleha. Tosafot says that if it were to only be an Issa D'Rabbanan, you would not have to stop a kid if he's going to do an Issa D'Rabbanan. You want to know why you have to stop the kid when he's putting out the fire? Because that must be going like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you're chayav d'araisa even if the malacha is an ena tzricha l'gufa. Rabbi Yehuda holds if you put out a fire just to save your possessions and to save life, whatever other reasons to protect yourself, that's indeed an Issa D'Araisa. And therefore, it must be that Gemara, that Mishnah, Braisa, whatever it is, that Mishnah, I think, that says that you stop the kid, must be going according to Rabbi Yehuda, holds it's an Issa D'Araisa. If we stop here, you see something incredible that Tosafot holds. Tosafot says the only way, the only reason why you should ever have to stop a kid from doing something is if it's an Issa D'Araisa. That's what Tosafot says. It has to be going according to the one who holds it as an Issa D'Araisa. You see from Tosafot that Tosafot in this first line says, seems to be saying, that if it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan, you don't have to stop a kid from doing an Issa. So it sounds like we answered our question, at least one level of the question. We didn't say you're allowed to hand over to a child Issur Drabanan directly, give him an Issur Drabanan to do. But if you see a katan doing an Issur Drabanan, you don't have to stop him. That's what you see from Tosfos.
We're not distinguishing class A Drabanans and class B Drabanans?
We're not going to, I don't think at any point tonight are we going to distinguish between different levels of Drabanans. It is true that there does exist some differences between different Drabanans, but we're not going to make that distinction tonight. Continues Tosfos. Venera says Tosfos, that which we're talking about, stopping the kid from putting out the fire, meaning he's doing an Isra on his own to please you, presumably, that is only Bekata Shalohi Gilachinach. Because it dibihigia lechinach came she chayv lechanchal kol shekain detzarch lafrisha shaloya asavera. Once you have a gil lechinach, I don't have to tell you that you should stop him from doing averas. It's obvious. If you have a mitzvah to teach him to do good things, to teach him to do asays, certainly you have to, an obligation to make sure that he doesn't violate los asays. You surim drapan. Okay, that, keep that in mind. Now let's look at the Rambam. Let's see how the Rambam phrases himself, and with that we will see very clearly what his position is about Yisurim Drabbanan, children doing Yisurim Drabbanan. Now this actually could occur very often. There are many medicines that could have non-kosher ingredients that are batal barov, or something like that, might be also Drabbanan. Children's medicines, flavored, right? If it's an adult medicine, it's a pill, a capsule, you know, caplet, you know, tablet, I'm not worried about that. You swallow it, you're fine, it's not a food. But the children's medicines, which are made into syrups and have flavor and chewable, that has a din of food, and therefore there's a real iser there. So they could be also drabanan. You're allowed to give a kid a child. Are you allowed to give a kid that medicine? Forget about Shabbos. This might be something also drabanan there. You're allowed to hand it to him? Is that higher level of iser, of handing an iser to a child? Let's see the Rambam. Katan she'achal, this is the Rambam in Ma'achalos Asuros, nothing to do with Shabbos. Yud Zayin, Halacha Chav Zayin of Ma'achalos Asuros. Katan she'achal, echal mi Ma'achalos Asuros. You see a child eating treif. O she'asa malacha b'Shabbos. You see a child who just had meat and you see them taking their bottle of milk. Or are they doing a malacha on Shabbos? You see a child playing with a mukzah toy. Ain based in mitzvah na lav lafrishish ena lafish ena ben das. Since the child does not have das, you do not have to stop the kid from playing. That's if the child takes the milk, right? You have a little child, a kid who's flacious, and they go to the fridge and they pour themselves a cup of chocolate milk, or you eat some ice cream. So if you might not be able to give it to them, but if they take it themselves, it's okay. They take the milk to the toy by themselves. You don't have to say a word. Aval hachilo biyadayim aser. But to actually feed them food that's aser is going to be a problem, even if it's only drabbanan. And even the drabbanan's on Shabbos, you're not allowed to feed them. But feeding.
It's only bezin, not
well, we're saying that even bezin is prohibited from letting the. Basin is prohibited from letting a kid do an Issur Drabbanan. Let me rephrase that. I'm sorry. Basin is prohibited from giving a kid an Issur Drabbanan.
Not stop them.
Right. So if they're doing it themselves, I think a father would only have to do it if he's a Bar Chinuch. Well, let's see the next halacha. Halacha it depends on each mitzvah.
Because you were talking about Mincha, about feeding a child on Yom Kippur, who's not old enough to feed himself.
Right, so that I didn't get into, so I don't want to get into that. That's a whole sugya b'fnayatza, but thank you. I know that you're listening. The question is raised, how could you feed a child on Yom Kippur? You're feeding him a baby, like a child who is not such a baby. You put the food in front of them, they take it for themselves. But a real baby, your mom is putting food in their mouth, you're giving them an issur d'oraisa. Do you ever
that's
think of that?
That he knows or will know when he meets the
I'm not talking about chinuch now. We're talking about sefiyah biyadayim. Three psukim in the Torah. Shratzim, dam, and tuma. Nothing to do with knowledge or not knowledge. The baby could be in utero, as we saw last week. You're not allowed to bring a baby in utero to a basic varas. And here, on Yom Kippur, you're giving him an issur d'oraisa to eat. So that's another discussion which we're not going to talk about right now, but let's see what the next halacha clarifies. Halacha Chav Ches, the Rambam tells us, Afa Pishen Basin Mustu Lahafrish Zakata. If a katan does something on his own, so the basin doesn't have to stop him, but mitzvah al aviv, who has a mitzvah of chinuch, ligor ba'al hafrisha kedei l'chanchu b'kdusha, shneemar, chanoch l'nar al pi darko. So here the Rambam says, when you see a kid doing an iser, it depends whose kid it is. If it's your kid, your son or your grandson, then you have a mitzvah of chinuch, if he's of the age of chinuch. If it's somebody else's kid, your next door neighbor's kid, you don't have a mitzvah to be mechanech, my child. Keep your mouth closed. Talk to your, you could tell your kids what to do. Don't tell my kids what to do. There's no mitzvah chinuch to somebody else's child. And therefore, if you can't, of course, give a child an iser drabanan, an iser actively, but if the child takes an iser on their own, you do not have to stop them. You see a kid who's fleshes taking milk, you don't have to stop them if you're not their father. Because the mitzvah chinuch only applies to a father. It's even a question if it applies to a mother. Question if it applies to a daughter, only maybe to a son who has a mitzvah Talmud Torah. Okay, we're not going to talk about that now. It's another shir. But the Rambam says that chinuch, again, for a child who's bar chinuch, you have to your son. But if it's not your son, there's no mitzvah chinuch. And if the kid takes it by himself, you do not have to stop them. That is the position of the Rambam. However, handing it to a child directly, that's going to be also, even if it's an iser drabanan. So for me, according to the Rambam, for me to give a child, let's say a child wants to take, something like you have some simple pain medicine or a Benadryl or something that has some glycerin in it, let's assume it's also drabanan, let's assume, and it's a syrup, so it's made to taste good, so it's like a food. So therefore, let's say it's also drabanan to take such a medicine, according to the Rambam, to hand it to the kid, to put it in the kid's mouth, would be aser.
Father can't.
Nobody can. Nobody in the world can.
Right.
Okay. Nobody in the world can. Because that's sefiyah biyadan. It's giving it to the
if you
child.
See him doing it, you can't let him do it either.
If a child would take it by themselves, then it depends if it's the father and the child is of chinuch age, then he should stop them. If it's not the father or the child is not of chinuch age, you don't have to stop them. I want to show you an incredible note on the bottom of the Rashba. They make a note about this Rambam. They say something incredible. This position that we just finished is that the Rambam holds that you can't feed Issa Darabana to a child. We're going to see soon, shortly, other opinions. We're going to see shortly an opinion that says that if it's an Issa Darabana, you're even allowed to feed it actively to a child. You could actively take Issa Darabana in your hand and stuff it into a kid's mouth. Asher it's Darabana, Dam Darabana, Tuma Darabana. You can mamish stuff it into their mouth.
Not a father, though.
Father, let's put chinuch aside. Chinuch is only for the father and only after above a certain
only
age.
Stranger.
I'm talking about a baby.
Only a stranger.
Or a baby. Remember, chinuch only applies after the age of chinuch. The isser of giving it is even to a baby. So I want to talk about the isser of giving it. The Rambam said that it's an isser to give even isturim drabanan to a baby. We're going to see soon other opinions that say not like that. You know why the Rambam holds that it's not allowed to give Yisroon Durabonin to the baby? Suggests this note on the bottom of the Rashba that the Rambam is Lishitase. Because there's a gigantic, famous, wild, raging machlokas. How to look at Yisroon Durabonin in general. That which we say Yisroon Durabonin are Aser, why are they Aser? Because the Torah says, Lotasur, Vasisa Kachashe Yerucha, the Torah says you have to listen to the Rabbanan. So says the Rambam, if the Torah says you have to listen to the Rabbanan, so every Rabbanan is in itself, in a sense, really deep, fundamentally, a Daraisa. Right? If the Torah says listen to the rabbis, and the rabbi says XYZ, so my obligation to listen to XYZ is Daraisa. And since that's how the Rambam looks at things, so every Rabbanan is sort of, on some level, a Daraisa. So if every Rabbanan is on some level Daraisa, that's why the Rambam holds you can't give a Issa Darabanan to a child because he holds that every Issa Darabanan is itself sort of like an Issa Daraisa. That's what this note suggests. Okay, take it or leave it. What we're going to do now is we're going to see a number of Rashbas. It happens to be all the Rashbas. We're going to see Rashbas in a few different places. And we're going to see that this Rashba in a few different places says very clearly that you're allowed to let children eat Darabanans. And we'll see what he says about handing drabbanans directly to children as well. Let's start with the Rashba and Yevamis, Davka Fyodalad. We mentioned this case where a child comes to put out a fire, and we saw Tosis said that it must be going like the opinion that it's Asa Daraisa, because otherwise if it's on drabbanan, it should be okay, so it must be Asa Daraisa. Says the Rashba Kashali, why do you have to stop a katan to put out a fire? The same question as Tosis, but look what the Rashba answers. Why do you have to stop a katan? The only time there's ever kibud ha'orayis is el b'pechamin, is if you're putting something out for the productive purpose of making coals, or b'psila. So the fact that the Rashba says the same thing like Tosis, that, well, he's saying you don't have to stop somebody if it's only nisa d'rabbanan. Why do you have to stop this kid? It's not an Issa D'Raisa. You see that the Rashba holds? You only have to stop somebody from doing something wrong. Shvisas b'no, and you have to say, well, your son is doing something to please you. You only have to stop him if he's doing an Issa D'Raisa. But if your son, for example, let's think about this. According to this Rashba, your son wants to turn off the light because he knows that you will prefer the light off. He knows that he sees you have a four-year-old. And he sees that Abba and Ima forgot the light on in their bedroom. So he's going to turn it off for who? Not for himself. That might be mutter. But he's going to turn it off for you. What do you mean? That's Shvisas B'no. It's a deraisa. You're not going to let your son do malacha for you, l'ritzoncha, l'daitacha, says this Rashba. But turning off a light is only always a malacha shena tzricha l'gufa. It's always going to be the Rabbanan. According to this Rashba, you can't hand your son the light switch, but you could allow your son to turn off the light for you. If you say in front of your son to your wife, sweetheart, it's such a shame we left the light on in the, how are we going to go to sleep tonight? We left the light on in the room. It's such a shame. Wouldn't it be nice if maybe our four-year-old son would turn off the light? I'm not actively making him turn off the light. I'm not putting the light in his hands. I'm just... He's not chinuch. He's not of age of chinuch yet. He's four. I'm just... Theoretically, I'm violating the iser of shvisas b'no. He's doing it for me. That's an iser d'oraisa. Says this Rashba, that was mutter. That's mutter. I can always tell my wife. Maybe I don't... Could I tell him directly? Maybe I can't tell him directly because that's... No, turning off the light.
I need a dog.
That, by definition, is you want not to have light.
What?
It's not that you need dark, it's that you don't want light.
Okay.
You hear the difference?
Yeah, okay.
And therefore, turning off a light or turning off a machine is always going to be, you don't want the light. You don't want to eat the electricity. You don't want to run the motor too long. That's always going to be an issa d'rabbanan. So turning things off are almost always, almost all circumstances, our only nisa d'rabbanan, turning things off. To turn on a light, if it's an incandescent
light,
then you're right. But these lights that we have are probably also d'rabbanan. Even turning on a light, we might only be d'rabbanan. Because our incandescents and many fluorescents are only d'rabbanan. I'm sorry,
LED.
Incandescents. LEDs are all d'rabbanans. Fluorescents, many of them are d'rabbanans. So you might even be able to ask it clear that you want your kid to do it and your kid understands and does it. That would be okay. According to this Rashba, I don't know if we'll have to see if we pass like this Rashba. The Rambam said that you can't hand an Issa D'Rabbanan to a child. What did he say about a child just eating it? He didn't really speak about it yet. Let's continue. There's another Rashba.
Everybody, even a parent?
Again, I don't want to talk about chinuch because that's a different issue,
so
and it has two limitations.
So this
only
is a stranger.
Correct.
Oh, I want to
parents
sure
only talk about our parents refer to only if the child is above the chinuch age and only a father. But if it's not the chinuch age or not a father, that's what we're going to be talking about.
Okay.
So the case that I just said was a case where it was below the age of chinuch, so there wouldn't have been a concern for. That's why I said a four-year-old, but it might not be chinuch age. Okay, comes the Rashba. In the same daf in Yevamos, which talks about children and doing malacha on Shabbos, says the Rashba, Mashmali, the Beisurim Shel Divrehem, until now, what did we see? Until now, we saw that if a child does a malacha on his own, If it's only Drabbana, you don't have to stop him. Here the Rashba takes a giant leap forward. That he soon shall divrei with something is only us the Rabbanan. Mutter lomer lo lecho beferush. You can mamish tell him to eat it. It's not just that you're gonna. He's doing it by himself. You don't have to stop him. You can mamish tell him to eat, and it's the Rabbanan, meaning to do a malacha the Rabbanan. We're not gonna go into the lamdas where he figures that out.
Again, he says look, Bezdin, by the way.
Again, that just means not the father.
Right, not the father.
Look at the fourth line. Delohem mida devrayim ella etzel gedolim shabiyisrael velo etzel ketanim. The Rashba says, very black on white, the rabbis, when they made the Yisurim Drabanan, they simply didn't place Yisurim Drabanan on children. The rabbis didn't place Yisurim Drabanan. When they made Yisurim, they put it on Bnei Das, not on children. And therefore, you could even tell a child, eat this Issa Drabanan. So, according to this, Rashba, you have a child who's fleishichs, you could basically say, go ahead, have some ice cream. You have a child who wants to take has a headache or something, you could tell him, take this medicine that has some Issa Drabanan inside of it. But he quotes, Aval haramam zal kazu b'sef machal sasuz shafil b'shvus drabanan osu l'achil b'yadayim. You're not allowed to feed an Issa Drabanan. He's recognizing that I, the Rashba, say that you're even allowed to feed a child in Issa Drabanan. The Rambam says you're not allowed to. Finally, we have a Mishnah that talks about somebody who's traveling on the road. And while they're traveling on the road, Shabbos is coming. And in his pocket is his muktzah. Well, forget about his muktzah. He's traveling in a place where there's Rosh Hashanah. He's traveling on the highway, outside the city limits, and Shabbos is coming. So the halacha is, you might have seen this case last week, Misha Hirshuk B'derech, this is the Mishnah in Shabbos, Kufnun Gimel Amad Beis, Amad Aleph, I'm sorry, Misha Hirshuk B'derech, Nosin Kisa L'Nach, you give your wallet to a guy. If you don't have a guy, you put it on the back of the donkey. The Gemara asks, what happens if you don't have a donkey, you have a child? So the Gemara says, if you have two people traveling with you, one is a cheresh, one is a katan, who do you give it to? Look at the second line of the Gemara. Cheresh v'katan mai. So the Gemara says, maybe you should give it to the cheresh because a cheresh will never become chayv and mitzvahs when he grows up, but a katan does. So maybe it's better to give to give to the cheresh because he'll never become chayv and mitzvahs. On the other hand, maybe it's better to give to the katan because a katan, you know, is a katan. But a cheresh, he looks normal. He looks like an adult. You might think that you're allowed to give, hand off. Let an adult carry on Shabbos. So the Gemara says some say this, some say that. The Gemara doesn't come to a conclusion. It says either one is okay. It sounds like comes the Rashba and says.
Exactly.
It's comes to Rashba and points out that we don't know how to paskin. Either one, maybe give it to the Chesh, maybe give it to the Katan. Since we're not sure which one to do, look what the Rashba says in the next source. V'hilka b'shal divrayim hu, v'chayim adolev shita. This question of giving it to a child is an innocent Rabbanon, and therefore, since we don't know which way to do it, you could do whatever you want. Kim to love Shita, since this Gemara doesn't come to a conclusion, Yahav Laman Minayhu Deba. You can give to anyone you want.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Asks the Rashba the million-dollar question. When you're putting your wallet, when you're taking your wallet out of your pocket and giving it to somebody to carry, what are you doing? You're actively handing it. What we called last week, Safin and Biadayim. You're actively handing them an Isser. Actively.
It's not
you mean it's Erev Shabbos?
When he gives it to the cotton has not yet done an Isser.
When I Shabbos. Give...
When you're feeding Shreif. The cotton, the stomach, he's going to eat it right then.
No, the swallowing is the Isser.
Could stay 10 minutes.
I hear what you're saying, but you're giving it to him to do an Isser. You're telling him to do an Isser and handing him the item to do an Isser. You know, if you put something in a cotton's mouth, he could hold it in his mouth for 3 minutes and not swallow it. He's not the Issur derives from the swallowing, not even the chewing. So, here, the idea of giving a cotton an Issur derives, an Issur, Safina Biyadayim, is when you're actively providing it for him. You're not just allowing him to take it? You're providing it. You're right, he could delay it if he wants, but you're providing it to him actively. That's the point. You're actively giving him an issa d'oraisa. Asks the Rashba, how are you allowed to actively give the kid the wallet to carry when there's no Erev? V'kashuli. The kid, this should be a problem of actively, just like we have the Torah says you can't give shratzim to children, you can't give dam to children. V'yesh lomar, says the Rashba in the third paragraph, d'shani hacha. We're talking about a case here where there was, it was not a Rishis HaRabim d'Oraisa, it was only Rishis HaRabim d'Rabbanan. And there was like a Carmelist. Veshel Divrayim, look at what I underlined. This is as explicit as you'll ever find. Afilu lichatchila safinanla. You could actively, proactively stuff a baby's mouth with an Issa d'Rabbanan on purpose, intentionally, lichatchila. That's the one we just did. Again, we didn't do. And he says, and this is the riot to me. This is an Mefurish Mishnah, like, a Mefurish Gemara like me. Because the Gemara says you could give a katan a wallet to carry on Shabbos. So Rabosa, if you want to, according to this Rashba, I'll give you the most practical example. You live in a place that doesn't have an Erev. And you have your talis, you have your sitter, you have your machzor at home. And you forgot to bring it to shul before Shabbos. Not in a place like here, where there's no Erev. According to this Rashba, you could lichatchila give your item to carry to your katan below the age of chinuch, to a four-year-old, or to your next door, or to your nephew, who you don't have a mitzvah chinuch on, even if he's above four, you don't have a mitzvah chinuch on him. You could give him a machzor to carry where there's no Erev to shul. This was the minhag in some places, taka. In Europe, I think there was a minhag like this, that they would give the kids the talis and the machzor to carry where there was no Erev in the town to shul, based on this Rashba.
Could you give it to a goy? Walking with a goy in the street, could you give it to him and that's okay, no problem?
That would go into the shah of Shrista Shrist Malkam Mitzvah. It's a give it to a guy and carrying the caramel is on the bottom, if it's Malkam Mitzvah, it could be you could.
Is it worse for the goy?
Could be it's worse with a guy.
The goy is the extension of you, essentially.
That's what I'm saying.
Depends on the situation. Could be worse.
The goy is a shliach.
I wouldn't use the word shliach. I would say that there's an isra of amir l'nachri, typically. Right, if it's a shvus, it's just mach mitzvah. So you have this incredible kula of the Rashba. So what do we have here? Let's just put everything together. We have the Rashba told us in three different places. Not only are you allowed to allow a child to eat an isra banan. Not only are you allowed to tell a child to eat an Issa d'Rabbanan, but you're even allowed to actively hand l'chatchila an Issa d'Rabbanan to a child to violate. That's the Rashba. The problem is the Rambam that we saw earlier said explicitly that to feed a child an Issa d'Rabbanan would be usur. So how do we paskin? Could I give my kid an Issa d'Rabbanan actively? Machlok is Rambam and Rashba. What should we do? Let's try to get to the poskim. Let's jump to the Shulchan Aruch. This si'if in the Shulchan Aruch is it's a whole siman which is one si'if long. It's actually a very hard few lines. Din Shulchan Aruch Hilchas Shabbos Siman Shemem Gimel. The title of the siman is Dinei Katan B'Shabbos Ubo Si'if Echad. We're going to learn the whole siman right now. Katan she'ochlan avelos ein beisim mitzuvin lahafrisha. It's a big machlokas in Shas, and we paskin that if a child is eating an issa d'oraisa, you do not have to stop them. They could go ahead and continue eating if it's not your child. If it is your child, aval aviv mitzvah ligor bo lahafrisha. But then there's this parenthesis, which is, I think, the Rama, not the Shulchan Aruch talking. The Rama says, if it's an issa d'oraisa. Meaning the Shulchan Aruch sounds like he's saying you have to stop him from eating, even if it's an issa d'rabbanan. That sounds like the Rambam's Chumrah. The Rambam says, no, it's only us if it's an Issa d'Oraisa. How does the Shulchan Aruch paskin? Our big question, are you allowed to actively feed your child an Issa d'Rabbanan? Well, let's see. V'achil b'yadayim, osur afilu dvarim sh'asurim midivrei sofrim. The Shulchan Aruch is machmir, like the Rambam, that you're not allowed to actively give a child an Issa d'Rabbanan. And similarly, you're not allowed to have a child do a chil Shabbos drabbanan. V'chein also agila b'chil Shabbos amoyed afil b'dvar Hashem mishum shavus. According to the Shulchan Aruch, he passed like the Rambam, you cannot ask a child to carry in a karmelis. You cannot ask your child, you cannot feed your child an issur drabbanan. So if you have Benadryl that has some glycerin in it that's not kosher, that's an issur drabbanan to drink, you cannot give it according to the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Ramah, look at the Ramah's clarification. Yesh Omrim, the Koza, Bekatan Shalai Gil Chinuch. Of course, this whole discussion of could you give it to a child or not is only before Chinuch. Because once he gives Chinuch, Aval Gil Chinuch, Tzrich Lafrisha. Fine, that's not important. Yesh Omrim, Doloshai Chinuch LeBeistin El Ab Bilvad. Like I was saying, Chinuch only applies to the Beistin. So what do we have here? We have the Shulchan Aruch passing clearly Lahachmir, that you cannot give an Issa Drabanan to your child. The Shulchan Aruch is machmir like the Rambam that you can't give an issur drabbanan to your child. But remember, we saw the Rashba in three different places say you can. Okay? But I guess we don't pass like this. Kula of the Rashba. Let's turn the page. Hey, yeah, it's page 6 because I started on page 4 because it's a continuation of last week's shir. Says the Mishnah Berurah, the Hagra Piresh, the Lahachi Nakan Mishnah Deraisa. This is the Mishnah Berurah commenting on the Shulchan Aruch we just learned. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Gra. And he says, you know why? I don't want to get into that. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Pashut, Dim Shama Levno Bitak Tanim Shemidabrim Lashon Hara. We think of Chinach, we think of Lulav. Esrog, Chil Shabbos, Kashrus. You know what else is important to keep in mind in Chinuch? How they speak. Wow. If you hear your son or your daughter, the little ones, Shemit Darim Lashon Hara, Mitzvah Ligor Bahem. You should, your father, and you have a mitzvah of preventing your children from violating, well, Lashon Hara is Nisud Daraisa. You have an obligation, L'hafrisha Mizeh, V'chim Machlokas, if they are fighting with each other. It's a mitzvah to stop them. V'shek, if they're lying, v'klos, if they curse. It doesn't mean four-letter words. Klos means, you know, like klala. U'bavonosenu harabim kamanich shalom b'zeh. Shemanich levnei ledarber lashon hara achilas v'kalov v'naseh murgul b'zeh. What happens if you let your child speak freely? They become accustomed to not filter their words and become accustomed to speak freely, and freely includes all these yisurim. Once it becomes habitual, even when they grow up, and once they grow up and realize, oh my gosh, they go to yeshiva, wow, that's an issur d'oraisa to say that. But at that point, it's very kashal lifra shmir gelo. It's very difficult to cease and desist from this habit that they've habituated themselves. You know, if you don't stop, if you say, oh, he's just a kid, let him say what he wants. No. Kid, you have to, mitzvah chinuch, to make sure the kid speaks without violating yisurim when they speak. Ah. Now, what is this? Is the Shulchan Aruch? This is the Mishnah Berurah giving us the rule of chinuch. What is the age of chinuch? The parameters of chinuch. Veda. The shira chinuch b'mitzvah asei, as we spoke last week, is every child according to his own intelligence. B'chol tinuch l'ficha rifusa v'yidiyaso, and also depending on the mitzvah. B'chol davar l'fi inyano. For example, hayodeh minyan Shabbos chayev lahagilu l'shma kiddush v'avdala. Hayodel his atef kahalacha. Once a child knows how to do proper itav, not just that a kid can wear tzitzis when they're 2.5 years old, but once he knows how to do itav, then he's a mitzvah. This is a mitzvah of chinuch for the father to be mechayach his son to tzitzis, etc.
This is the Mishnah Berurah, right?
Yes, yeah. This is Mishnah Berurah. Aval chinuch below taasei. When you have a chinuch, what are the parameters of chinuch for lo taasei? So he says whether it's deraisas or derabana, it's mitzvah of chinuch applies to both. That is bechol tinuch shehu bar havana. As long as he has enough intelligence to understand, if he understands what it means that it's asr, right? You remember the example I gave last week. You can't touch it, it's mukta. Please. So that obviously he doesn't understand what asr means. Once the kid understands what's asr, certainly a 5-year-old, then the chinuch begins, a mitzvah lo sase. Aval, and here he's the Mishnah Berurah is sort of putting everything together, so it's just very nice. We'll read it together. Tinuch she'eino bar havana klal. If a child, if there's a baby who doesn't understand, If you have a baby walking around somewhere, and he picks up a candy from the floor that's probably a non-kosher candy, what could you do? You could let the baby eat the candy. Yes, my friends. The ain avim mitzuv l'mano bal karcho milechom achaz asuros or michal shabbos. Child walks over to the muktzah, starts pressing buttons, starts playing the sounds and the lights. You don't have to stop them and take them away from them, or take them away from it. I feel be'isr shel Torah, even if they're going to eat an eser d'oraisa. Why? Kimish enu meivin klal ha'inyan mashamono mafrisho. Again, you're not allowed to hand it to them an eser d'oraisa, or maybe even an eser d'rabbanan like the Rambam says in the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. But if they take it themselves, it's no eser. V'cheinu kohen ein tzarech lehotzio. Right? He's going to say in a minute, you're not allowed to bring a kohen baby into a cemetery. But if a Kohen baby wanders into a cemetery, let's say you live on your border, you're Mr. Kohen, you have a backyard bordering on the cemetery. Not smart, but you do. And the kid gets through the fence and he crawls into the cemetery. You don't have to quickly pull him out. He crawled himself. He could play in the cemetery, even though his last name is Kohen. To actively give him something, that's of course going to be awesome. I want to finish off with a fascinating shaila. Fascinating shaila to think about whether it applies nowadays. If you have a pregnant woman, her name is Mrs. Cohn, and she's pregnant. Is she allowed to go into the Beis HaKvaros? Now we mentioned that one of the three psukim in the Torah where it says you're not allowed to actively give iser is tuma. Emar el hakonev amrata lehem lenefesh leitama. Something like that, you're not allowed to become tamei, is specifically said by children, that you're not allowed to be matamei your children. What about a pregnant mother? Pregnant Mrs. Cohn.
Was it established that the baby was a boy?
No.
Ah,
it's going to come up.
So that's what we're going to say right now. So says the Mishnah Brura, he quotes a very famous rokeach. The rokeach is a sex fake. He says we have a sex fake. Maybe the baby will not be viable, chas v'shalom, a nefel, which we always have that possibility. Whenever you deal with now, Baruch Hashem, mortality rates are very, very, very low.
10%.
Nowadays, it's probably even less than that, Baruch Hashem. But I'm sure in previous generations, it might have been even higher than 10%. So there was a suffix nafel. And even if the baby would be a viable baby,
maybe it's a girl.
So it's a sex seiko. Based on that sex seiko, the Rokeach says it's mutter for a woman to go into, for a pregnant woman to go into the cemetery.
But nowadays they can figure it out. Nowadays
they
can figure it out.
Say Svek Svek, not Rov. Rov has a different mechanism.
No, because we just learned this in Brachas, in Becharos.
Okay, so we have a Svek Svek. That's what the Rokeach
says. If you know it's a girl, it's
not. Nowadays, if you have sonograms, so let's say like this. Let's say you know it's a boy. So then there's only one suffix. It says suffix d'orais l'chumra. Suffix nefel, suffix non-nefel, suffix d'orais l'chumra. You can't go in. What about the father? What if the couple doesn't know? They didn't take a sonogram yet.
Yeah. Mm.
I don't think they have the right to be mako because they don't want to take a sonogram. Or they don't want to ask the doctor whether it's a boy or a girl. Okay, so stay out of the cemetery. You want to go to the cemetery, you can't stick your head into the sand and ignore reality. Nowadays we have sonograms. You don't have this suffix anymore. We don't have the suffix of suffix boys, suffix zachavik in the cave anymore. Because we have sonograms. What?
Why do they have to do the sonogram?
Because if you have the ability to clarify something and you choose not to, that's not called a suffix.
Right. So there's nothing in this life, in medicine, where doing a test doesn't have some negative aspects to it.
Sonograms can have a negative aspect?
Absolutely.
Really?
Sure.
You're the OBG. What?
Yeah.
What's the negative sign?
Well, first of all, if you find something that's going to require many, many tests on the patient,
I hear
not
that.
Necessary.
Okay, fine.
And second of all, there's no real proof that repeated sonograms that are done all the time in the office, that you see all the time,
I hear.
Don't have
sonograms. Okay, that's true. I hear that.
But again, it's something that is,
in the eyes of the general population, not considered a dangerous activity.
But the only reason they're doing it is to fulfill this question.
Okay, so the other option is she just could stay out of the cemetery, which is also fine. If she wants the Goyim based on a suffix, that's a suffix that she could clarify.
But she could clarify.
Right, right. So that's not called, it's called a suffix shiyach levarer. You're able to clarify. Whenever there's a suffix that this shiloh exists, you know, you go into a, you're driving along the highway, you want to stop at some store to pick up a cookie and a coffee after Pesach. Is it Shchon HaShalav HaPesach? Well, I don't know, so I'm going to buy the cookie. Because maybe it's a guy's store. I'm going to buy a cookie. Well, you could find out if it's a guy's store. You could Google and you could research a little bit to find out if it's owned by a Jew. Somebody called me. They were driving up after Pesach from Florida, up the 95. They stopped off at this one of these gas stations on 95. They said, can I buy the cookie? So I quickly, after they texted me, I looked up online who owns this. I found out that there's this gas company in the southern states called Raceway or Raceco or something like that. Anyone from what?
Raceway.
Raceway. Okay. Yeah. There's one in New Jersey. I know there's one on Route 9.
New Jersey.
Right. Route 9 has. Maybe it's Raceway. I don't know if it's Raceway. It's owned by Carl Balch. So I said Carl Balch, whose son went to Methodist something or other, is probably not so from. He's probably not so Jewish. Carl Balch is not Jewish. It's not. It doesn't sound Jewish to me. Does it sound Jewish to you? No. And because if it doesn't sound Jewish, I assume you could assume that they're not Jewish. You assume that it's owned by a guy. So he's worth $8 billion. He's gigantic. He owns 400 of these. You know, he started small. He started like a little mom and pop store, one gas station. Then he got bigger and bigger. Now he owns 500 gasoline stations. One of the wealthiest people in, I don't know, Georgia, Florida, whatever it is. So I assume he owns this, and he's a guy. So I say, and I assume he's a guy from his name, and Methodist. His kid went to Methodist University. So I said, yeah, you could buy the cookies. Okay, so halacha lemaisa, it seems that we have a Rashba. The Rashba says that you're allowed to not only allow a child to eat an issa d'rabbanan, you're even allowed to tell him to eat an issa, and you're even allowed to hand it to him and feed it to him actively. It seems the Shulchan Aruch does not make like this Rashba, but it could be that in b'makom tzorech, if it's a very necessary situation, one might be able to rely on this Rashba who allows even feeding, actively handing issa d'rabbanan to a child. There might be room for a Rav to be make like that Rashba, but typically we would not be make. Typically we'd be machmi like the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, who's machmi like the Rambam, that you're not permitted to give an issa d'rabbanan to a child.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.